What up, Buzz? You tapped in? Okay, Goose, you tapped in too? All right, Chicago, y'all tapped in? All right, boys, let's crack them. Feel like Mike in the fourth with the ball in my hands and I'm taking a shot. I'm the king in the madhouse on Madison, whether I make it or not. Now the crowd going crazy, they watching the play and I'm watching the clock. Got my shot in the air and the buzzer go off and I'm watching it drop. This team did things, MJ shot city six rings. D-Rose too big, too fast, too strong, history. And we good on that, put Jilla on the track and we good on whack. 3, 2, 1, everybody say Bulls on tap. Bulls on tap, our city pretty and gritty. Benny the Bull in the crowd getting hyper and litty. Me, I'm so drippy and slippery, nothing offends me. Banners on banners, we winners. We got the stats in the news. Go and subscribe, hang out with Buzzy and Goose. Tapping with us, we the truth. Jilla just murdered the booth.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Bulls on Tap. I'm your boy, Buzz. I'm joined by my dude, Goose, a.k.a. Bull Scripted. We are here to recap a Chicago Bulls loss, the second one of the year, 103-98 to the shorthanded Philadelphia 76ers. But before we do that, be sure you're going on tapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Following us on Twitter at Bulls on Tap, at On Tap Sportsnet. Following Goose at Bull Scripted, me at Buzz on Tap. Anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you can listen to us. 5-star rating and review, because that's cool and tough. God damn it, man. You know, I think I might have taken them a little bit lightly because of, you know, Harris not playing and Ben Simmons being gone. And you know how it is. I think I took them a little lightly. And tonight, I think the Bulls might have did that too. How are you feeling?
Not so good. That fourth didn't play out so well. And I hate that play by Zach just is like sticking in my mind like a stamp. And we'll get to that, obviously. But, yeah, I mean, I think the Bulls took them a little lightly. DeMar came out rolling, ready to go. If one thing was proven yet again tonight to start this season, we didn't overpay for DeMar DeRozan. Regardless of what I might have thought on the pay scale and what every analyst out there did trashing this guy this offseason, he's come out and he's made a point. And he's not doing it selfishly. He's doing it within the flow of the offense for the most part.
Yeah, no, absolutely. DeMar DeRozan has just been absolutely electric. I write an article today over at On Tap about DeMar the marksman, you know, because he's been shooting and hitting threes, you know. So just kind of like, hey, man, it's pretty cool. You go look at like last year's stats or even back in, you know, 2019, 2020. And he's taken like 68 three-pointers a year. He's got 17 through seven games with us. So I was like, okay. And he's hit, you know, seven of them. So it's like 41%. So, you know, do this awesome like little breakdown on Tap, thinking like maybe some things have changed. He comes out tonight, takes one, doesn't go in. Said, who's this Buzz on Tap author guy? What a fucking idiot. But, you know, other than that, no, he's played really good, man. He's been efficient these last few games. He's hitting his free throws, 11 for 12 from the line tonight. 37 points, 10 rebounds, and one assist, one steal for him. And he did have three turnovers as well. But he
scored damn near 40 points. That'll happen.
At one point, Stacey had said on the broadcast, or it was Adam or Stacey had said on the broadcast, he was plus 17 for the Bulls tonight when he was on the court. He finishes with plus 12.
In a loss, that's pretty impressive.
Oh yeah, there's some other things that we need to go over in this loss that I'm fucking blown away by. One of them, we finally out rebound somebody. 47 boards.
Joel Embiid and Andre Drummond. We win the rebounding battle against two guys notorious for rebounding and nada.
Yeah, I was pissed. I'm pissed about that. Like fucking A, bro. They got him by 12 rebounds. It was 47 boards to 35 boards. The turnover battle was dead even. Bulls had 15. They had 14. Now, what is kind of annoying here is that the Bulls went 6 for 21 from behind the arc, and Philly went 12 for 28. So that's where the Bulls really lost this game. Not a lot of generating three-point shots. And, hey, man, Philly was hitting them at a fucking high, high clip for a little bit there. I mean, Thibault hit two of them. Yang hit fucking 4 out of 8. I mean, you know, they look pretty good. Or the role players look pretty good because Embiid looked like shit. I mean,
at the towards the end of the game, he only had 15 when he started going to the line consistently, and I was like, damn.
Vooch did a pretty decent job on him.
Yeah, Vooch was a lot better at defense than people give him credit for.
He did a good job on him in the first half, and then Tony Bradley did a really good job on him as well. I mean, you know, I mean, he goes 6 for 18, 1 for 5. He was forcing jump shots tonight. He didn't want to go in there and bang. And I don't know if maybe, he had the night off the other night. I don't know if that was like a designated rest night or something's bothering him. But we've watched Joel Embiid play before. I think
there was an injury because we were unsure if we were going to see him tonight or in either of these two games.
Right, yeah. So. He's usually a physical guy, but he was kind of settling for jump shots tonight. And I thought that was a great fucking plan, but the Bulls let all the other guys beat them by having shitty rotations until they really shored the shit up in the second half. They were not rotating to the offensive player getting the ball. They were missing people. Lazy defense a little bit there in the first. I mean, again, I don't want to harp on it too bad because they only scored 103 points, but they just kind of came out lazy tonight, I felt. And it bit them in the ass.
I mean, Seth Curry bit us in the ass. That shot.
Yeah, that shot was tough.
There's nothing you can do about that. Caruso had two hands up, volleyball, net protection in the face, and he drained the shit. He pulled the DeMar DeRozan on us. And we just had to sit there and watch. And then DeMar thought we was getting free throws, and Joel ended up having a clean block there. So no heroics there. Just really tough to swallow. But, I mean, the way we played to even make it a game at the end of the fourth, I know it's cliche to say, but we were there. We made it a game. And if every game is like that this year, I think we're in for a fun season.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, you can't win them all. Like, that's just not what this team, not what this team is, not what any team's ever been. You can't win them all. But I will say, I mean, I like the games where I feel like we could win. Like, because it's a better takeaway than from what we've had the last 3 years that we've been doing the show together, right? Like, where we just got completely fucked up and we're just on here then fucking ourselves up to not feel anymore. But now it's not like that anymore. It's like, they're in these games, they make comebacks. But one thing I do hate out of that though, Goose, is like, I don't like when you beat yourself. And that's what they kind of did tonight. And I have to blame the bench a lot for this too. The bench came in. I'm not saying there's a scorer on the bench, but it was completely a different, situation than it was in Boston. They only account for 13 points tonight, the bench. That's all they got out of it.
We have a timetable on when Kobe's supposed to get back.
They were saying in the beginning of the game, or before the game started in pregame, that Kobe is itching to get back. But I mean, the report still reads sometime in November. I'm thinking a little bit more December-ish.
Closer to Thanksgiving then.
Yeah, I would say it was gonna be. I'd say it might be after, maybe, because like he hasn't really started doing much in practice. Okay, so he's not even taking contact. So
it can be itching all he wants, but if he's not taking contact, we're
right. I mean, we've seen some crazy things before where somebody hasn't been taking contact. They take it for 2 days and they get in a game. We've seen some shit like that. I mean, if you go back to Lowry last year when that shit happened, but I don't know what they're doing with that. But I mean, that's a very big miss for the Bulls right now, is having a microwave like Kobe White not being able to come off your bench and score the ball. Now, that means somebody's going to be odd man out in the rotation. I highly doubt we get 10-man rotations constantly, whether that's going to be Javonte, whether that's going to be DJJ, whether that's going to be, Io, which I don't think so. I think Billy's really liking that kid. So I don't know. I guess we'll just have to see what happens. But, 13 points just doesn't cut it off the bench. And this is something I want to get into as well. 2 for 7. 10 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 turnover, 3 fouls, 4 points. Nikola Vucevic. That's not good.
No, especially when your goal, when you're playing Embiid as Vucevic, who is more of an offensive player than a defensive player, is to make Joel work and get points and not give him an easy night. And as you pointed out, Joel kind of gave himself an easy night on the offensive end. And by the looks of things, Vooch gave him a pretty easy night on the defensive end as well.
Yeah. So aggressiveness, right? Like, I mean, yeah, dude, you got to command the ball a little bit more, throw yourself in the paint, get yourself into position. You got to do something. I will, however, say, though, this narrative surrounding him right now of losing his touch or he sucks or whatever Bulls fans are saying about Vooch, you know, through these first seven games, now eight games, it's not, it must be getting to him because, or his teammates. There was moments that motherfucker come off a screen or set a screen, you know, the defender get dragged with the dude with the ball and Vooch be standing there with no ball. You know, I mean, wide open. And that happened with Lonzo tonight. That happened with DeMar tonight, which I was kind of surprised about. DeMar did look for him a couple times, though, so I'll wave the DeMar miss. Zach wouldn't pass him the ball. I felt like Zach was not trying to pass Vooch the ball in situations. I felt like Zach was – I mean, and I'm not saying Zach was doing that to be a dick. I think Zach was trying to force his shit.
What was Zach's final line tonight?
Zach's final line's still decent. I mean, Zach goes 11 for 24. I mean, a little bit under 50% from the field, but 2 for 7 from downtown, 3 for 4 at the line. He has 27 points, 9 boards, 1 assist, 1 steal, 5 fucking turnovers. That can't happen. That can't happen.
Not if you're going to have – obviously, it's not that poor of a shooting night. It's still pretty efficient. But to put up 24 shots to get 27 points – and then have those 5 turnovers in there. That is, you got to clean that up. Some of those shots probably should have gone to Vooch. How many shots did Vooch even get tonight?
7.
So, yeah. And see, now we're getting to Lauri Markkanen territory, and you're talking about an all-star, you know, towards the back end of his prime, but still very capable of giving you a double-double every night. He needs more than 7 shots.
Yeah, Lonzo, he had to fucking shore it up a little bit. 5 for 11, 3 for 6 from downtown, 13 points, 5.
Three late.
Yeah, 13 points, 5 boards, 5 assists, 3 steals, 5 turnovers, and a block. 4 fouls for him. He was a plus 5, though, in the plus minus. He went on a little run with that bench there when they were in, and I think that brought his shit back up. I do want to talk about Zach a little bit more in this loss and just kind of some things that I saw out of him in transition. Third quarter, there was a chance for him to hit Tony Bradley in stride. He waited too long, got into the teeth of the defense, threw the ball over to Bradley. Bradley went up for a dunk, got his shit swatted away. Zach's peripherals and or, you know, feel for the game tonight looked very odd. Because, I mean, he's averaging about 5 assists a game. I mean, we've seen Zach be able to find his teammates. Well, I think that's
point guard for us for the last 2 years.
Well, right. But I think that we've also said on this show sometimes about how he misses somebody because he's looking for his shit. He's looking for his shot. And that's a score. But that's what kind of, you know, separates you from a score to that all-around player that you want to be, a supermax kind of guy. I'm not saying that in this situation that he's not going to be. I'm pointing something out. He missed a couple guys tonight to force shots. He got reckless with the ball. And this loss is nowhere near on him. You know, he was one of the only guys scoring the ball. But he did make some key mistakes there that were detrimental to what the Bulls were trying to do. You can't, when you're, they like to run. The Bulls like to run. When we get into fucking half-court sets, we're bringing the ball up the court, okay? We're stagnant. There's a lot of ISO ball that is played, and that happened tonight. When we're on the run, we're the best. But Zach tonight, even on the run, was looking for Zach. Even when he came in the fourth, where everybody was like, why the fuck did DeRozan not get that ball? He's literally hitting. There must be a magnet in it because it just keeps fucking going in. You know, like, it's just amazing. But Zach was looking more for him tonight. I don't know if that was a mental thing or not. They all looked frustrated. I just want him to clean that up. Because, you know, when you want to continue winning, you need to get that cleaned up and you need to trust your teammates a little bit.
Do you think this is simply growing pains for Zach playing with talent?
Yeah.
That he's never really outside of Cat when he was a rookie and, you know, having to take the backseat to Wiggins there. It's been a few years since Zach has had to take the backseat. Like, even, you know, if someone else is hot, Zach's usually hotter. Now you have DeMar. And you have to make sure that you get Vooch more than 7 shots and 7 points. That's just not acceptable. So, hopefully it's just growing pains, you know, compounded with the fact that he has an injury So he's compensating there, and, you know, he doesn't want to lose his opportunity at that Supermax contract due to an injury. That's got to have at least some factor to why he's playing outside of, you know, the team itself. So Zach's obviously kind of juggling a lot of things mentally and physically right now, and he's still putting up the points extremely efficiently. Like, if you look at the overall stat line, all-star still. So,
oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Like I said, this is not a hate fest on him. It's just observing things that he did tonight that I was kind of confused about and wondering why he was pressing as much as he was. I understand not everybody was scoring, but you never know who he'll get a spark from, man. You know, I mean, you never know.
Do you think Kobe coming back would solve that issue? You know, like,
well, I mean, Kobe's going to bring you another 10 to 14 points a game. I'll say 12 to 14. I don't think he has less than averaging 12 when he gets back off the bench. Guy's a good scorer.
Yeah, he's a flamethrower.
So, yeah, I mean, that'll definitely help for sure. I mean, you know, but again, that's why in these situations, yes, Kobe would help, but the game was winnable with or without Kobe. The game was winnable. And a lot of mental mistakes kind of took part there, and that's what happened. A lot of forcing of the shots, too. You know, a lot of forcing of the shots. He had a bad air ball on a fadeaway attempt tonight. Again, the turnovers late, it doesn't help. You know, you got to ride the hot hand, and that hot hand's fucking DeMar DeRozan. Just give him the ball, let him create, and get the fuck out the way when it's working for him. Because I'm sure him in his career, his 13-year NBA career, if you have the hot hand, he's going to get the fuck out the way because he knows this is how I got to win. So nothing too terrible. I mean, it was just it sucked a little bit. That's all. It just sucks to get back in there and then beat yourself. You were down 1 point, and then it just completely turns. What do you think Vooch has got to do, man? Do you think he's got to continue to stay aggressive, continue shooting that ball? I mean, he's got to do something.
He's getting older. You know, older guys tend to start slower, even with a full training camp and all that. You're on a new team. You're getting less touches. You came from Orlando where you were the dude. You were the only reason that they were winning games. So you got 20 touches a night guaranteed. Now you got two guys in Zach and DeMar who are better creators for themselves. They can initiate and facilitate the offense. So they're guaranteed those touches. For Vooch, that's not given. And right now he isn't hitting his shots. So, but his teammates do have to continue to fight. You can't give up on a guy that's you know, a 20 and 10 machine for the majority of his career. It's just, I don't think the clock has run out on Vooch like that.
No, it absolutely hasn't. Because, I mean, you know, dude, honest to God, Vooch's game is not built off athleticism. You know, his game was built off kind of, you know, a good back to the basket game, but the guy could shoot like that. That shit will last in the league until he's like 37 years old. He still has 3-4 years left in him he's going to be at a very good level, or he should be. I just feel like he's having trouble with his spacing right now. Like, where should I be? You know, I got two attackers here in Zach and DeMar. So am I going to float towards the outside? Is that where I'm going to make my living? We're not getting enough elbow pick and pops with this fucking guy. We should be, because I feel like that's where that's his bread. Oh, yeah,
his bread and butter is right at those post corners.
Right. So, like, that's what I would kind of be doing. But again, like I said, you know, it starts turning into ISO ball. So it just,
well, and especially because, you know, the green light is there for the mid-range shots. If you're a great mid-range shooter, Billy's not telling you not to shoot it.
Apparently. I mean, that'd be a fucking, you know, totally hypocritical and contradictory to DeMar DeRozan's game.
Which I think when you said Vooch getting older, that shooting is something that shouldn't really fade on you. Do you think that's part of why DeMar is going to start taking more threes? Do you think he's planning for that longevity game? That Dwayne Wade, that kind of got to evolve into a better three-point shooter so I can stick around kind of thing? Obviously, he doesn't need it yet. He's still got all the bounce. Started the game off tonight with that slam-a-jamma, and I thought we were going to be off and rolling after that.
I thought the momentum started off good. Like, I'm like, oh, they're so fucked. Hashtag pray for the association all day. That's what I kept fucking saying, you know, but obviously turned out wrong. I don't know. I just think DeMar wants to be the greatest basketball player that he could possibly be.
Okay. You know, no, I mean, I guess the better question would be, do you think it's a personal thing for DeMar, or do you think Billy's empowering him more in the system to take those shots where other places he was more discouraged because he isn't consistent there?
I definitely think the coaching has a little bit to do with it. Like Billy saying, like, this will make you more effective within the offense that I'm trying to run, try to work on it. But I could also see DeMar just taking that and be like, you know, it's my 13th year in the league. I just got knocked all off season after I got signed and traded here that I can't shoot the long ball. So fuck you. I'm going to show you what I could do. And, you know, that's basically it. Yeah, that's probably, you know, why he's working on it. I mean, his volume of threes back in Toronto, if you go look at it, they were up in like 200s and shit. And then like once it started getting, yeah. Oh yeah. I swear to God, I was looking it up the other day. I was looking it up today, 'cause I wrote that article. I can actually just even get you the numbers while we're sitting here on the podcast. 'Cause I was curious, man, because I was like looking at it. I was like, okay, shooting 41% from three. And I decided to like look at catch and shoot, right? So out of the 17 threes, 15 of them were catch and shoot, right? And yeah, he hit six out of the 15. Yeah, he had six out of the 15 in the catch and shoot. And then he hit one out of 2 3-point attempts. He hit one of them off a pull up. So that's what, that was like the 7 for 17 thing, you know? So I was like, I was just curious. I'm like, man, how many fucking 3-pointers has he taken throughout his career? Because I just hear about how he's knocked all the time. And this guy was a multiple time all-star and all that shit. So it just didn't make sense to me, but 3-point attempts, he actually took 287 in 2017 and 18. He took 210 in 2013, 2014. Those are both all-star years over in Toronto, though. He only did shoot in both those years, 31% and 30%. His highest career average shooting from three is 33%, and that's in 2015 and 16 when he took 139 three-pointers. So if the season were to end today, which it won't, but if it were, this would be his career high in three-point percentage at 41%. But, you know, yeah. So, I don't know.
That 280 season, that's I never would have guessed that.
Yeah, like, no, I'm with you. Yeah, I'm with you. I would have never thought that he would have done that too. And that was in his age 28 season too. So it was, you know, I mean, I think that's his last year in Toronto, ain't it? So
curious to see how that plays out for him for the rest of the season. If we keep seeing him pulling the trigger on those, or if he kind of starts to shy away if they start not to fall.
Well, because I was kind of watching some Toronto clips about on him, and like when Murray would drive into the paint or whatever, and like DeMar would be in the corner, like in the rare play that he wasn't like in control with the ball, he would like catch the ball in the corner in San Antonio. The defender would close in, DeMar dribble up midi, and that's what he was doing. So I was just kind of funny to see how things change with whatever team you're on. But yeah, so I know we just broke down a lot of DeMar DeRozan there.
That's all that really happened in this.
That's all, yeah, yeah. I mean, dude, that's the second straight consecutive 30-point game.
I think it's his third.
Is it his third?
I'm not. We pull that up too, but I'm pretty sure it's his third.
Yeah, I got his game log right here. Hang on 1 second. Just got to pull it up, get it, you know, my Wi-Fi over here. Come on, Xfinity. Get the shit going. No, it's not. It's just wait a minute. Yeah, it is. It is. You're right. It's his third because he had 32 against Utah. He had 37 against Boston, and then he had 37 here again tonight. So, yeah, that's three consecutive 30-point games from DeMar DeRozan.
Welcome to Chicago, DeMar.
Right. And it's not, like I said, it's not the worst thing, you know, that we lost tonight, man. We're coming back home. You know, I guess we'll just break down the next game here.
Philly will be on a back-to-back. They played Detroit the night before, but Embiid will probably sit that game, would be my guess.
Wait a minute. What's today?
Wednesday.
Fuck, I thought it was Thursday all day.
It's okay. I thought it was Tuesday. I blew my mom off for breakfast.
Oh, bro. I thought it was Thursday all day long today. That really fucking blows.
I'm sorry, boss.
That's okay. I hate it.
Tomorrow's Thursday and not Friday. I know that wrecks your reality. I'm in retail, so those days mean shit to me.
Oh, fuck, man. That sucks. Oh, man. I got to wait till fucking Saturday, too, for the Bulls, too. Oh, that blows. Okay, so they're off. So this game's Saturday. 11-6 is Saturday, right?
Yeah.
God damn it. Okay, well, anyway, they're playing the 76ers back in Chicago on Saturday. Man, it fucking sucks, dude. Like I said, I thought it was Thursday all day. You know, I'm really upset my dad didn't correct me when I was talking to him about doing something.
He knew you were going to make an ass of yourself later. It was just
because I was talking to him on the phone. Yeah, I was talking to him on the phone, and what a dick, you know? What a dick. I'm just very I hate everything right now. But, yeah, we'll play them again on Saturday. Hopefully the Bulls can come out and start the game off with a little bit of energy. Hopefully the UC crowd pumps them up. And, like you said, Detroit coming off a back-to-back. Take advantage, or Detroit, Philly coming off the back against Detroit, and then they'll come and play us here on Saturday. But hopefully they can, you know, take advantage of that. You know, don't lose two in a row here. Don't lose.
We have two teams on our rival list currently, and that's the Sixers and the Knicks. We got to get both these games back because we do get them a chance at that here in short order. So
yeah, absolutely.
Time to get that Bulls revenge and. Keep two losses in the win column only. We want to stay at the top of the conference here.
Yeah, we do. I do not want to fucking lose. Joel Embiid pisses me off a little bit. He's very good.
During the beginning of the game, Javonte Green was kind of – he got that one board and almost got the board back.
Yeah.
And then he had the ball where he dove for it, and Embiid kind of tripped him, and Javonte kind of like kicked him in the forehead a little bit. And it was kind of looking like I was like, "Oh shit!"
Yeah, I was
because even before Embiid got kicked in the face, the first play he was giving Javonte like, "Who the fuck does this guy think he is?" Look, like that's my rebound. You're not allowed to have that. Green.
Yeah, Joel Embiid's got a little bit. I'll tell you what, man. I guarantee we'd love him if we had him. He's that kind of guy. But like when you play against him, you're like motherfuck. Like you can't help but laugh sometimes when he gets hyped. But like I just want the ball to hit him in the face really hard, like off like a fucking missed rebound or something, you know, just ricochet off the rim and just pop him one because he just pisses me off so bad. So hopefully we get back to him and we take him out on Saturday, have him have another terrible game. But Vooch actually scores in this one. It fucking helps DeMar and Zach. So I don't have anything else, man.
Crazy. If we got a career average game from Vucevic on the offensive end tonight, the Bulls win.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And if we would have shot the three-point percentage that we've been shooting all year, because we were like tops in the league in that. I know we had minimum attempts, but we were tops. If he would have just hit a couple more three-pointers a game, we'd have turned the ball a little, you know, less. I mean, the game was winnable. Even though we were down 18, the game was fucking winnable. As you can see, we got within a point in the last quarter. So mental errors hurt the Bulls last night. Clean the shit up. Hopefully Billy the Kid tells them what's up, man, and they figure it out. But
they get a couple days to clean it up, and then they get to play the same team again. So if they don't clean it up, we got a fucking problem.
Yeah, I don't want to be talking about this shit on fucking Saturday if they lose. I'm going to be pissed. I'm going to be real pissed off. But I got nothing else, man. You got anything?
No. I mean, other than I guess I'll throw this last topic at you. What's your take on Scottie Pippen right now?
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, that's wild. So I don't fully understand what the fuck happened, because it just seems like Scottie's kind of a walking contradiction right now. But I'm also going to point out the fact that as much as I love him and what he did for my childhood and what he did for Chicago Bulls basketball, Michael Jordan is the GOAT hands down, but we all kind of know he's a prick. So, I mean, it's like, if Scottie's out here trying to make money and be controversial, controversy creates cash, man. It's a fucking book. And it's been written by, wrote by Eric Bischoff, who was a wrestling promoter back in the, you know, 90s and shit. Seriously, he wrote the
book. I know. I recognize that.
Yeah. He wrote the book called Controversy Creates Cash.
I'm glad that you said that, because I would have went all night going, Eric Bischoff.
Yeah. He wrote that book. Name? And it always stuck in my head, because anytime I see controversy, I'm like, why is somebody doing that? And it's like, oh, because you're going to make some money. So he's sitting here basically going on a press tour with his middle fingers up to MJ. And, like, you know, those are the only excerpts of the book.
Dude that inducted you into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Dude, that's probably the reason why you're in the Hall of Fame. Because as great of a two-way player as Scottie Pippen was, MJ made you, bro. And that clearly is chafing you at this point, amongst the other things in your life that are chafing you.
And then he's got, his whiskey. Have you seen his whiskey? I want to buy it. Whiskey. It's called Digits, and it's just he's got that everywhere with him. He's got his book, and he's got this fucking big-ass jug of whiskey. And I'm like, Scott,
And then he looked like he'd been on a beach for like the last, you know, like not a nice resort either. Like a fucking, he was like, you know, had a Wilson with him from Castaway, like Tom Hanks. It's like, what, you know, like, I don't know.
He's just going through it.
I don't know. I guess. I mean, I don't want to say that he's, listen, I don't know if he's being sincere in everything that he's doing or he's just trying to make a quick buck. I don't know if he's gone fucking nuts. Maybe he finally did snap after the fucking Last Dance because he came out looking like a prick a couple times. It went during that, you know, with the refusing to go back in with Tony Kukoc and then getting the surgery.
I mean, it's not like it was just MJ that the whole fucking team confirmed that. Like, I know. Everybody was like, yeah, Scotty was being a little bit of a, you know, he wasn't really being too cool there.
He's very bitter. I mean, and then
how are you so bitter?
Well, like, this is how come he's bitter. Like, in my opinion, he got fucked into that contract that he signed with the Bulls because he was a young kid. He did go against advice and like of saying not to sign it because he wanted to take care of his family. He wanted the money, so he took that ridiculous 7 year.
Like was it 17 million,
17. I don't even
I think it was 70 or 17 million.
Something. Yeah, it was like something like that. It was and robbery. He ended up making more in his career than MJ did, believe it or not, in his basketball playing career. Scottie Pippen made like $109 million in his career compared to MJ, where I'm
pretty sure the Bulls paid him some money when they traded him.
I don't know how it all went down. He got a huge contract from Houston when he went over there. Then he was traded after one season to Portland right away. And then that's where like most of the money came from before he came back to sign with the Bulls for that year. And he only played like 23 games because they fired Cartwright and he got all pissed off and Scott Skiles ended up coming in, whatever history. But yeah, I don't know, man. He went off the deep end a little bit. And, I'm like just really curious to see if MJ responds at all.
I think MJ's smart enough to realize that this dude's just going through it between what his wife is doing in the public eye and kind of just like, I feel bad for his kids with that situation. I don't really feel so bad for Scotty. I'm sure he's done his fair share of what Lars is doing too. But I feel bad for their kids with how she goes about what she does. She's fooling around with current NBA players. Her son's about to be probably in the NBA. Scotty has all the ties to the NBA and knows everybody over there. So he's got that to deal with. And I guess you had the Last Dance jab, whether it was truth or not, he was going to want to get his side out. And apparently in getting his side out, he's got to try to throw MJ under the bus, which
I think it's because MJ offended him because MJ's production company worked on this.
So Jordan literally sat there with tears in his eyes and said, without Scottie Pippen, I couldn't have done all of this. I needed Scottie. I love Scottie. What the more do you need, man? What do you need?
Bro,
you got the rings. You got the cash. You have the prestige. Like, I guess I just don't get it. Like, yeah, you want to say MJ's, you want to talk about the things that MJ did that you disagreed with and how he glorified himself in this documentary. Great, but now you're going to turn into Skip Bayless too, and you're bringing LeBron into it.
That's what he said too. Scotty goes, Michael Jordan just wanted to prove that he was better than LeBron. He was still
superior than LeBron, who most, if not all, feel is his equal, if not his superior. And I'm like, Scotty, we've watched you on TV flip-flop on this topic for the last year. You got yourself fired as a Bulls ambassador because you went on national TV and you told the world that you didn't know anybody on their current roster while you're employed by them.
He wasn't wrong.
You still can't say that.
I know he can't. And I mean, he went after PAX and the Bulls organization too in this book, man. He did some shit. I might actually buy it.
I'm going to have to buy it just for the fact that, like, he might wake up a couple months from now and, like, stop selling it and just, like, have it taken off the shelves. But I don't know. I almost hope he gets some help because this just seems desperate to me.
Hey, man, that almighty dollar will make you do some crazy shit, bro.
Yes.
It'll make you do some crazy shit. I don't know who to believe. I mean, like I said, MJ's kind of a prick. He's smug, but he's MJ. He's the best to ever do it, the Chicago Bull, you know? So it's just kind of like, yeah. And I love Scotty. I've always loved Scotty, but the way he's coming across right now, man, is just, it's a little bit bitter and a little bit fucking psychopath. His eyes get all big. Like, did you see the interview he did with Dan Patrick?
I did not. No.
Dad, look that up. Okay. That's the one where he attacks Phil Jackson and shit, but look that up because.
Oh, yes. No, I did watch that.
Yeah, his eyes get all fucking.
Phil racist. Called Phil a racist for giving the shot to Tony over him.
Yeah, and then, but his eyes get all big when Dan's asking these questions, and he, you know, and Dan Patrick's just trying to ask, like, well, why, you know, why do you think they want to use you as a decoy? And Scotty's like, I don't give a shit about that. He goes, I'm Scotty fucking, you know, I'm Scotty Pippen.
So he's going through it. He's got it.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't want to say that he's on something that's not a nice accusation. I want to make sense of it.
Well, maybe being number two for so long, just fucking, I don't know. And it's not bad, dude. You're a champion. You're a fucking millionaire. Like, we're nobody's talking about you right now. What the fuck are you mad about? You know, like, why are you mad?
So, MJ's got his own booze. So is that why Scotty needed his own booze?
Does MJ have his own booze?
Yeah, MJ's, I think it's Sincoro tequila.
Oh, tequila? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, MJ's into tequila.
Yeah, I don't really fuck around. I mean, I like margaritas, but I don't really fuck around with tequila too much. I'm more of a whiskey guy. So maybe I'll pick up myself the Scottie Pippen book Unguardable and then pre-order Digits, his whiskey, and I'll just sit here with a nice fat-ass cigar and smoke that as I read the book and sip on my whiskey. So
that sounds good. I'll get some Sincoro and I won't buy the book.
I'm going to wear my Pippen jersey as I do it, too. I got a Pippen jersey up there, so I'm going to wear that, too. So, you know.
And then you can just get some tape and cut out some of the P and then get an R in there so you just got tripping.
Yeah, just tripping. Yeah, because he's fucking tripping right now. All right, I got nothing else. We are going to head on out. We'll be back Saturday after the Bulls take on the 76ers for a second consecutive game. Be sure you're going on ontapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Following us on Twitter at Bulls on Tap at ontapsportsnet. Following Goose at Bullscripted, me at Buzz on Tap. Anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you can listen to us. 5-star rating and review because that's cool and tough. We will see you guys Saturday. Let's go, Bulls.